I know Danny tried to get me to come play for him a few times. It's a culture there. You know, they the Hurleys instill in our basketball family. They have a culture of, you know they talk about the Patriot way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about the Hurley way, because there's a culture there of just, demanding the best out of every player that, steps through their doors. I wasn't surprised at what UConn's done. Like, give them the opportunity with, a great staff, great players, and now you got to compete with the trifecta, right? You got a great foundation plus great coaching and great players.
Opulent Inventory, our proud partners here on the show. From iPhones to MacBooks to Apple TV to Apple Watches to trade-ins and much more, now you can have the Apple product of your dreams. Visit Opulent Inventory on opulentinventory.com and on Instagram. My guy Nash and Gardy are the very best in the game to provide you the Apple product of your dreams. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome, guys, back here inside Studios, inside WNSC Radio. Myself and my ride partner, Michael Gray, he couldn't be here with us today, so it's just a solo mission today. The Sebi Podcast Radio Show, live and streaming here on 18 different platforms worldwide. We are coming by live, reporting from Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful weather here today, 71 degrees Fahrenheit, nice chill winds. It's been a minute since we've had really, really nice weather here. So I'm really, really excited that we're having some of that. And then, of course, it's the best time of the year. All of the sports are swinging into form, right in time for the postseason. We've got the Masters going on. We have got the NBA playoffs on tap in 2 weeks. We've got the play-in tournament coming up in 2 weeks. We have got the NHL playoffs on tap in a couple weeks. And then, of course, the granddaddy of them all, March Madness, the finale of the Final Four just a couple weeks ago. So what a time to be present, what a time to be alive here, of course, folks. And of course, I want to obviously give a big shout out to our proud partners here on the show, Opulent Inventory, folks. Opulent Inventory, of course, 20% off promo code podcast can get you the Apple product of your dreams. We're talking about from MacBooks to Apple TV to Apple Watches to trade-ins to iPhones and much more. Our friends and proud partners here at Opulent Inventory can give you the Apple product of your dreams. Promo code 20% podcast gets you that. And I'm very excited today, guys. Very excited, everyone, for our next for this show, because this show is going to be a really nice one. It's going to be a really good one. We've got a special guest with us today. We've got Joshua Leonard Costner, who is a proud and phenomenal author with us today on the hotline with us. We're going to go ahead and travel 2,000 miles north into the New Jersey area to bring him on. And of course, if you guys do not tap in, I am obliged to believe that you are a hater. All right. So we're going to travel up until 2,000 miles up north into the Jersey territory. It's a pleasure to have you on, Joshua.
Hey, thanks, Sebby. It's actually Jordan, though. No worries, man.
Jordan like Mike.
Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate you having me on, man. This is exciting.
100%. Absolutely. And we're pleasure to have you. So just for some context, everyone, Jordan and I, we've connected with a very good partner, a very good buddy of ours, Ross Klingberg, who is one of the more prestigious and one of the more phenomenal publicists, or, you know, however you want to talk about it, if he's a publicist or if he's a recruiter in the book game, in the author game, and from the tri-state areas up there in New York. And we've connected with them. And I've heard such a great story about your background, Jordan. For some of our audience and some of our listeners that really don't know much about you, can you go ahead and share with us and enlighten us just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you stand for, just so we can get into the interpersonal relation of yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I was born into a basketball family. Basketball is the family trade. My dad was a professional player. He played for the Sixers and he played for the Bullets. And then spent the majority of his career overseas, where he, you know, was making better money at the time. At 6 weeks old, I moved to France. I was raised in France for a year, then Italy for two, and then Athens after that for nine. And then moved back to the States in about 2000, 2001, where I started playing basketball myself. Had a pretty solid career. My brother was a McDonald's All-American, played at NC State. I was a McDonald's All-American nominee, played D1 at St. Peter's, and then had two pretty catastrophic injuries that derailed me. Broke my neck my junior year.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 days into official practice. And then my senior year, I had to have my pelvis reconstructed because my right leg disconnected 3 days before official practice started, which was a two-year recovery process, which ended my officially ended my college career. During that time, I wrote my first book. Didn't really do anything with it. Kind of was a bucket list kind of situation at that time, as I was, you know, kind of mourning the life that I no longer had. Came back, recovered, got some Euro contracts, worked out with some Euro teams. And then eventually hung them up after I went to, I got invited to the D League at the time, which is now the G League, to work out with them. And after that, one of the coaches at the time from the Lakers told me I was one of the top two best players there. And they offered me a contract to play. Unfortunately, at the time, you know, I started working. And, you know, what the contract wasn't enough money for me to do that. And I was not healthy at all at the time. So started writing, started working. And now we have, you know, working on my sixth and seventh books.
Wow. That's impressive. I didn't know about all that. So you're a hot shot, pretty much. Talk to me about that. You know, highly recruited out of high school, being in the McDonald's All-American. In fact, the McDonald's All-American just passed this past week. In Houston, some of the best college high school players in the country, like Cooper Flagg, who we'll see next year at Duke, Arias as well. So talk to me about that experience and in playing in St. Peter's, you know, the debacle that you had at NC State once you got recruited. Just to share with us a little bit about that, because I don't think people understand that most people talk about the grueling season about the NBA, but just to even get there is really hard. And so there's a lot of things that factors into it, obviously attrition and health, but also the fact that, you know, you got to be able to endure 6 a.m. trainings. You got to be able to be locked in and stuff like that. So I don't think most people understand how hard of a training that it takes to be at the pinnacle level, being an athlete. So just share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So like you had mentioned, you know, coming out of high school is really where it starts and really is going to be your pivotal point on whether or not your career moves past, you know, just high school into college or anything else. So I was playing high-level AAU basketball. I played for a team the Thomas players. I was privileged enough to play for them since I was 14 to graduating from high school. Tim Thomas players, you know, perhaps one of the most prestigious, if not the prestigious, AU program in history. 28 McDonald's All-Americans, 20 NBA players, you know, Kobe played with them, Tim, you know, Vince Carter, like the names go on. And I was privileged enough to, you know, earn and keep a spot there. So as I'm playing, you know, I'm achieving all these accolades and, you know, it's going good, but I'm kind of oblivious to my own success, if you will, at the time. Right. You fast forward to college. And, you know, I end up going to St. Peter's because at the time they managed to get 5 of the top 10 players from Jersey, who I all played against. And, you know, I figured, you know, we'd be able to do something. Ended up being 6th man of the conference my sophomore year. Junior year had my injury. Senior year had my injury. And then as I'm sitting in the office of the orthopedic surgeon, you know, this guy who is hospital special surgery, he does all the, you know, NFL athletes, NBA players, sitting there telling me like, hey, you know, your hip has been broken for years, right? He was like, you've been playing on one leg your entire career. And I don't know if you really want to play anymore because you're probably not going to be able to.
Wow. Wow, that's tragic here, right there. Talk to us a little bit about this book that you've been talking about. I didn't even know you had this working on your 67th novel. Share with us a little bit about that. What got you into writing? You know, I have a lot of guests that we have on the show, and I just find it fascinating what their passion and what their interest is at a young age. So, was that something that was like that growing up, or was that something that you over the course of life and over time that you just started having a love for reading, a love for writing? Share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was an art major in college, and when I started writing, I was recovering from that pelvic surgery. So I had been laying in bed for, I think, 6 weeks at that time before I even had the notion of the first book, which came to me in a dream that repeated every night for a month verbatim. And I decided to start jotting down what I was seeing, which, you know, eventually turned into a full book. After, you know, numerous attempts at starting, I decided to approach it like a different art medium, right? Had to write this thing as authentically as possible. And for me, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to be able to be like the George R. R. Martins or the J.K. Rowlings or anybody like that. I had to tackle it in a way that I would enjoy reading it myself, and something that would, you know, I'd be able to convey my message appropriately and in the best way possible. So I wrote the first book. It ended up being a modern retelling of the slave war between the Romans and a gladiator by the name of Spartacus. A young man who is fighting in this world called Legacy happens to be his reincarnated descendant. And Legacy is an institution that has been thriving since the decline of the Roman Empire. And they have these quarterly events called proaliums, where anybody who fights in them has to be a bloodborn descendant of one of history's greatest warriors. So that's where, you know, the story came. And then I ended up writing a second and third book, and then didn't do anything with it for 10 years until COVID happened, and ended up writing my fourth and fifth books. And now I'm on 6 and 7. And, starting now, only started promoting 6 months ago.
Wow, that's awesome, man. That's impressive. And talk to us a little bit about how did you encounter with Ross, right? I know he's a very phenomenal guy, up there in that Northeast region and Northeast area. What was the first encounter like?
So Ross, I was actually directed to Ross by my strategic advisor, a gentleman by the name of Bear Walker. He's actually one of the doctors I went to in 2022. And he and another doctor by the name of Foster Malmed got me healthy after that pelvic surgery. So I've been in a at a stage of like a 7 out of 10 on a pain scale a day for 10 years, and then in 4 months the two of them got me down to a 2. So I started working with Dr. Bear. He took an interest in, you know, the things that I was doing, my partners were doing. And he, you know, now is gracious enough to open up his network to me. So he told me to reach out to Ross. He's worked with Ross before. He told me Ross would be, you know, there's some synergy there. And called Ross, and, you know, Ross has been killing it. You know, shout out to Ross Kleinberg, you know,
yes,
PR guru. You know, he's really made it possible for me to, you know, have the opportunity to speak with people like yourself. You know, get the visibility out there for the story, not only the story, just the brand of legacy, of the legacy universe itself.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. Nobody thought that there for you. Let's go from your story to your passion, right? Into the hardwood. And let's talk about what happened this past Saturday. Obviously, the Final Fours, both in the women's bracket and also in the men's bracket, the darlings of them all. We've got UConn win their sixth championship in this millennium, should you say, right? You know, they won two in the 2000s, two in the 2010s, and then obviously back-to-back already to kick off this decade in the 2020s. And then, of course, on the other side, Dawn Staley, what she's done with the women's South Carolina team, their third national title in the past 7 years in South Carolina as she starts to build that dynastical program on the women's bracket. And then, of course, you know, the stars showed out in yeah, both brackets. Zach Edey, right, who right now looks like a lottery pick. He came out of nowhere where he might not even be drafted. Now it might be a late lottery pick. To Caitlin Clark, who's just taken the nation by the nation by storm, the consensus number one overall pick going into the WNBA draft, a generational talent. To me, this is LeBron James out of high school, right? Because as soon as you know, she steps into the floor in a bad franchise, you know, much like LeBron coming out of high school, she's gonna have that scrutiny, right? They know how great she is, but a generational talent like that. And he's going to make an immediate impact for any franchise, right? She's going to fill up the seats. She's going to be box office. Your ticket sales is going to be up. It's going to be must-watch TV. What she can do pulling up from 40, what she can do as a passer in the open court, you know? So I think all of that is going to be exciting. So talk to me a little bit about what you've noticed in these last weekend on both sides of the spectrum when it comes to the women's game and the men's game.
All right, so with the women's game, they, like you mentioned, man, they're just completely taking it by storm. You got so many great players out there. I was myself rooting for Juju over there at USC.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, she's absolutely killing it, especially for a freshman. You know, she's got the sky's the limit for her.
Yeah, she's a dog.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? Dog for real. And, you know, she's got, like, a lot of Diana Taurasi on her.
Yeah, I see a lot of Maya Moore with it too.
Yeah, just straight killer, finesse, you know, highly skilled, fun to watch, you know. LSU's got some dogs, you know, Angel Reese, Flauge, Haley Van Lith. You know, they had a good run. They got one already, so they need another one, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Caitlin Clark, the things that she can do, you know, so effortlessly is impressive. Yeah. You had mentioned Steph, and, you know, when Steph came on the scene and kind of just, you know, changed the way basketball was played, like, you can definitely see that she was a student of that and really honed her skills to really, you know, be deadly at, you know, everything that she tackles.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about that there as well. That's going to be fun to watch about her career. Maybe, you know, maybe 15 down years down the line, do we talk about her as one of the greats? Obviously, she's got work to do. You know, you can't be the great without winning a couple chips. But, you know, the sky's the limit for her. I believe she's a generational talent. Those type of people. Very exciting to see what the future holds for the number one pick for, obviously, the Minnesota Lynx there for sure. Let's talk about the men's side, right? UConn, yep. What they did, impressive, very impressive. Dan Hurley now, their head coach, has won 13 straight NCAA tournament games by double digits, 13 in a row. Can you imagine that? That dates back to this year, last year, other previous games that they've had. You know, this UConn team is a machine, right? Back-to-back, first back-to-back team since the 07 and 06 Florida Gators team with Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Bruin, those guys. And so that was very, very impressive what they did because, you know, when you lose a program that loses eight players, three starters, right, obviously the transfer portal thing now to retool, regroup, and be able to make another run at it, it's phenomenal. And that is a true testament of how great, you know, the UConn basketball program is. I thought it was fascinating when he was in the podium. He mentioned that, you know, UConn is a blue blood, right? You know, like we've got more chips than Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky in the last 30 years. And it's crazy to think because all of those programs, can we think about how many first round picks, how many first round players, how many number one overall players, how many, you know, potential Hall of Fame players comes out of those other programs that are blue bloods, but we don't talk in the same limelight about how great this Husky program is. And what they're doing right now is phenomenal. And it's going to be fun to watch. Obviously you hear the noise about maybe Dan Hurley going to Kentucky. He's been adamant that he wants to build what he's got here in UConn. He's very satisfied with his position here. And so I want to get your thoughts about what we saw and how great this Husky program can be for years down the line.
Yeah, so I actually know the Hurleys very well. I know Dan very well. I know Coach Bob Hurley very well. Thought about going to St. Anthony's and playing for Coach Hurley. And I know Danny tried to get me to come play for him a few times. It's a culture there. You know, the Hurleys instill in our basketball family, they have a culture of, you know, they talk about the Patriot way. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about the Hurley way because there's a culture there of just, you know, demanding the best out of every player that, you know, steps through their doors. You know, I wasn't surprised at what UConn's done. Like, you know, give them the opportunity with, you know, a great staff, great players, and now you got to compete with the trifecta, right? You got a great foundation plus great coaching and great players. You know, it's not hard to believe it. You know, anything that they've done. When you talk about, like, you know, the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the UNCs with all the, you know, all their, you know, number one picks and all that good stuff. You know, it's great. It's great. But you also got to look at the guys who, you know, don't go to those quote unquote high level, you know,
programs,
yep. programs, you know, like your Dame Lillard's, you know, Paul George, like these guys, you know, sometimes guys just take a little bit more time to develop or they're not in the right situations. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of different, you know, avenues to basketball. There's a lot of, you know, different types of people. So, you know, just seeing what UConn was able to do, you know, was awesome. And, you know, biasly, I was, you know, extra rooting for them because my team went to the tournament in 2011 and we actually got knocked out by Purdue and I couldn't play that game because I was injured.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Speaking of Purdue, let's talk about Zach Edey, right? He an impressive NCAA run. I mean, the guy averaged about 29 a game, 12 rebounds a game, and then in obviously the last game of the season in a losing effort, 37 points, 10 rebounds. The game plan was to let Edey cook, but stay home on the shooters, right? And so one of the better game planning coaches in the league right now that we have in the country in Dan Hurley, making and sticking to that, right? Knowing that, you know, obviously Edey's a tough cover. Translating his game into the NBA, how do you see that happening? Obviously today's game is different for big men, you know. It's more about spacing. It's more about, are you able to step out and shoot? Can you pick and pop? Are you able to guard in the perimeter? You know, are you able to switch on guards? Are you able to switch on forwards? You know, so the game is a little bit quicker right now, obviously because of what Steph Curry has done. and basically changing the game. But, you know, you look at this 30 years before, if this was in the 90s, Zach Edey could have been a top three pick, right? You know, because of in that era, that was the greatest era in big man's. But the evolution of how the game is advanced, right, with scoring, with how guards can shoot from the three-point line, how do you see his game?
I think Zach Edey is highly skilled, I think, especially for his size. I think, though, like you had mentioned, the game today is not the same and is not pro big man. Like, you do have, you know, Embiid and Jokic and Big Cat over there in Minnesota. But, you know, for Edey being 7'4" and not exactly mobile compared to those guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very high-paced game, where the entire, you know, goal of the game isn't necessarily to play defense or to really let the big man eat. It's to, you know, put up as many points as possible. So if you can't guard, you know, a Joker or Embiid, you know, for the entire game, like, you're going to have some issues. I saw somebody likened his ceiling to Boban.
I think he's a little bit better, right?
I think he's a little bit better.
I see a little bit of Yao, obviously. You know, I see a little bit of Yao Ming. Obviously, I think Yao is a little bit more skilled, but they're similar. They're very similar. That's the guy that first comes to me.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see Yao as well. I think Yao actually might have been a bit more mobile. But, you know, even when you know, like you had mentioned, like the days of the over 7 foot big man are gone. Like, you look at Wemby or you look at Bol Bol or Chet Holmgren, you know, these guys are, you know, guards. You know,
they're the modern day, modern NBA.
Exactly. Bigs. Yep. Exactly. Like, you know, that six seven prototypical player isn't that really anymore. You know, you're looking at, you know, these guys who are, you know, 7'4" and up, doing everything a guard can do, and it's just gonna make the game harder because you got more guys just like that coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about that there for sure. A lot of great stuff that we talked about here. Well, I wanted to take a quick break here. We're gonna take a step back, and when we come back, Jordan, we'll go ahead and switch gears to the professional games, to the association, to the NBA. We'll touch upon the Eastern Conference. We'll touch upon the Western Conference, right? There's only one and a half game that separates, you know, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, and the upstart Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll talk about the play-in tournament, Steph and LeBron back at it again in that familiar area. And so we'll talk about this and much, much more. The Sebi Podcast Radio Show live and streaming here, only here on WNSC Radio. And we are back here on our second segment here today and final segment here on the Sebi Podcast Radio Show. Back here with our special guest for today, Jordan Costner here as well. Jordan, pleasure to have you back here. We're going to go and shift gears here to the NBA. And we'll start off with the Eastern Conference. All year long, the Boston Celtics, my beloved Boston Celtics, 64 wins in this season. Too shy of the franchise record or tying the franchise record. They've been avalanching teams, right? Yep. Four times this year, they've beat teams by 50. They have more 30-point leads this year than 10-point deficits, right? They've been an avalanche. What they do is they get up on you early, and then it becomes just a snowball effect. They've created this 15-game gap to the second seed right now, who is the Milwaukee Bucks, who right now are in a tussle right now, 2-6, with the Knicks, with the Orlando Magic, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Indiana Pacers. And so, so far right now, obviously, we've got the play-in tournament. You can never dismiss the Miami Heat, who's there. Oh, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia Sixers are in there. They're going to be a tough matchup for anybody up there in the top three. And so, when you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, what stands out to you? What is it that you're potentially keeping an eye out for? Any parity that you're looking into? What stands out to you?
Well, the Heat are definitely a tough out always, so you got to keep your eye out for them. Embiid being back, you know, the Sixers definitely have a good chance. But, you know, they for whatever reason, can't get through the Eastern Conference Finals. But with the additions that they have now, you know, I'm a big Oubre fan, you know, since he was at Kansas. And having him and Maxey, you know, with Embiid really is, you know, a big plus for the Sixers. What really stands out to me is the Knicks in third. You know, I don't think they're really getting enough shine like they should be. You know, that organization was, you know, all glitz and glams, you know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, a long period of, you know, kind of just, you know, mediocrity with their, you know, front office. And now they're, you know, in third with the guy leading them who, you know, was, you know, for lack of better words, is like a backup to Luka, you know, a couple of seasons ago. You know, he probably got that stigma for staying in college for 4 years. So I like the Knicks. They're always difficult. The Celtics, however, you know, it's they're a different animal. You know, being that they were so good prior to the additions that they made this season, you know, it was kind of like, I think it's kind of like when the Warriors added KD, right? You're adding Jay and Porzingis to Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, you got a starting five that everybody can go off for over 20 every night.
Right.
Like, that's a tough team to beat. And you also got to contend with the fact that they like to guard. Mm-hmm. You know, defense still wins championships.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? 100%.
Yep. They're the only team this year top two on offense, top two in defense. They're second in the NBA in that category. And you're right about that. They've just been an absolute avalanche. And speaking of defense, we'll shift now to the Western Conference, where the Minnesota Timberwolves actually hold that nod as the league's best defense with one of my favorite players in today's game, Anthony Edwards. This guy is a bad man, Jordan. I mean, he's cut from a different cloth. I believe he was born in the wrong era. This guy, it belonged in the Kobe and Jordan era. He's just got that factor in him, and he's the one that's the Minnesota team who's an elite perimeter defender. Obviously, Ant at 6'6", long, excellent. You've got 6'9", Jaden Daniels. But defensively, what they do with Rudy Gobert, he's a three-time Defensive Player of the Year guy for a reason, because their scheme that they use where he can be help side as a safety and he can roam around help side and be just a nightmare of a rim protector, that's what's led this young Minnesota team to be excellent and to stay in ball games. And I've been impressed what they've done. I've been impressed what they've done without Cat. Now Cat comes back. And to me, you know, any team that has two former number one overall picks, you know, like Cat, like Anthony Edwards, you've got a shot, right? You've got a shot. And so I've been very impressed with this Minnesota team. I think their ceiling is the Western Conference Finals. I think this time around, in Ant's second taste of the postseason, I expect a deep playoff run from this team.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. I mean, you do got to contend with the West, though. You know, it's such a slim margin between all these teams right now that, you know, it's really anybody's game. You know, you got to give Joker and Jamal Murray the nod, you know, being, you know, champions. But Shea and Chet over in Oklahoma City, you know, they got something to say about it. And
I think
the Clippers are built for the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Adding Westbrook, if anybody goes down, you got a guy who could come off the bench and get you a triple-double. Like that's the man's average for his career. You know, I honestly don't think he's getting or has gotten as much love as he should. I don't necessarily like his role on the team right now, but, you know, it's working. So, you know, good for them. The Mavs, Luka.
Very hot, right? Hottest team in the West right now.
Oh my God. Like you got the maybe the face of the NBA in Luka, and you got probably, if not the most deadly closer in the history of the basketball, and Kyrie Irving. You know, that's a force to be reckoned with right there.
Yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. I agree with you because they've got four guys that can take over a game, but that can close out a series. They can both go for 40. Like, these two guys can go nuclear.
Yep.
And so they're very interesting. Very interesting. And it's been – it's going to be the, you know, Mavs and the Clippers. Third time in Luka's career that he's going to go up against the Clippers. Will this be the first time he actually wins a playoff series against them? So this is going to be fun because Luka, although he hasn't had – you know, a lot of postseason success, right? He's been to the conference finals already, hasn't been to the NBA finals yet. But this guy, his first career, he's averaging 32 in the playoffs, right? And only Michael Jordan can say that, right? He's the only other guy that's averaged 30 plus in his short career. And he's been a Clipper nightmare. Kawhi Leonard, is regarded as probably the best perimeter defender in the last decade. He has no answer for Luka Doncic. I mean, they switched Paul George on him. That's turkey barbecue. I mean, everybody just gets it. And he's a nightmare to guard.
Yep.
I mean, the guy's a problem. So that's going to be a fun matchup to me. Dallas is going to be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Nuggets there with that championship pedigree that they have last year, overcoming and finally winning a championship. You know, Magic Johnson used to always say, the first one is the hardest one. And when you get a taste of it, you know, you don't want to lose it. And that's going to be very interesting there. I want to go to the latter parts of the West, though.
Yeah.
That play-in area, you've got the Kings, right? De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. You've got Steph and LeBron, 9-10, right? You've got the Pelicans. What a season they've had, right? Zion losing weight, you know? Resurgence. They got him in a diet. What do you see in interesting in that play-in spot?
I see that. Gosh, honestly, I don't believe in the Lakers. To be honest with you. I mean, they got Dinwiddie. He's phenomenal. Nice fit for them. You know, they're starting to play well at the right time. But the Suns with KD, Booker, and Beal, if all three dudes are on the floor at the same time, they just added IT, who's an absolute dog. Like, I don't know why he hasn't been in the league. Nurkic down low, like their record isn't as good as that team is really assembled to be right now. Then looking at the Warriors, you know what I'm saying? Like the Warriors right now, if Draymond is on the court, then they always have a chance. I think that Klay's role has been diminished. I think that he's really getting some undue flack for whatever reason. You know, he's not getting the same shots. You know, it's tougher. It's tougher to get the shots off. He needs time. He needs space. He needs a rhythm. You know, if Steph's taking the majority of the shots, that's fine. But you know, you got to have somebody else there, especially a closer like Klay Thompson.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I feel, you know, the Warriors, they always got a shot. When you've got Curry, Thompson, and Draymond, that trio, you've always got a shot. You've always got a shot, and it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting there. The Los Angeles Lakers, I also think they're built for the playoffs. Obviously, LeBron James and AD, you always got a chance. Their problem is consistency. I think they match up very well, and they could beat any given team in any given series outside of the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are just a bad matchup for them. They don't have an answer for Jokic. But, you know, the Lakers, I think this is – they're playing a long game, right?
Yeah.
My problem is it's always been Darvin Ham, right? This year you've actually had a very healthy LeBron James. You've had a healthy Anthony Davis. They've missed the least amount of games this year than any other year that they've been together. And so their record is not reflecting what they should. And so that's my only problem with the Lakers when it comes to coaching lineups. In your Western Conference, you're going to go up against,
You know, Michael Malone going to go up against a Finch in Minnesota. You're going to go up against some of these great, great coaches. Ty Lue, you know, how, when you get out-scheme and out-coached, that's going to be a problem. So that's my only concern for Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, the Lakers, I mean, at the same time, health was always the concern. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron, as phenomenal as he still is, he's, you know, up there in age. Like, it's, he's still, you know, playing with time here. You know, Father Time's still unbeaten. AD is, you know, a bad, you know, bump in the back away from being out for, you know, weeks. So they got some things there. You know, same thing with Joel Embiid on the other side. Like, you know, durability has always been a thing with him. So there's some stuff there that they got to work out. But I want to talk about the Kings. You know, shout out to D Fox, the Swiper, the Fox, to Sabonis. Like, those guys are a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. That pick and roll is insane.
Yeah. D Fox might be, I don't know, the most underrated player in the league.
I think it's Jalen Brunson. But to me, yeah, I agree with you. He's definitely one of those ones that doesn't get talked about. Paolo Banchero in Orlando.
Paolo Banchero was nasty. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't talked about them.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, they've been circulating in the 3 seed, the 4 seed. What he's done, they're an elite defensive basketball team as well. All they're missing is shooting. They don't really have a lot of shooting on their team. I think that can really derail them going into the postseason, especially if they play a team in the first or second round. But there's no denying that 21-year-old right there, he's special, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, the Magic are a monster. Paolo is amazing. You know, at 6'10", the things that he's able to do with his size, you know, it's hard to guard, you know. That's why people have so much trouble with them. And I think that they're still like a one piece missing away from really getting there. But I mean, hey, it's the playoffs. You never know. I mean, look at, let's look at NCAA. You know, you got NC State, Bama, you know, getting to the Final Four. Nobody would have expected that. So, you know, playoff time, money on the line, you know, people going to step up.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Always a great time. Jordan Costner, one of the best-selling novels, best-selling authors that we have. Pleasure to have you on here on the show with us today. Any last words that you want to share with us in our audience? Where can we follow you? What demographic or social media handles or any websites? Where can we find some of your books? Where can we promote this? Please share with us in our audience where they can connect with you.
Sebi, I appreciate the time, man. This has been awesome. You guys can follow me on IG at The Legacy XII. That's THE Legacy XIII. You know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Legacy Universe. Like, follow, you know, share. You can listen to the first book on there right now for free. Working on getting the second book up there. It's audio. Narrated for you. We got a website, legacyuniverse.io, where you can get some more background information on the books, you know, where to buy them. They're available now for purchase on Amazon. By the time you listen to this, book 3 will be officially available for purchase on Amazon. So there'll be the first 3 books in the series available. But yeah, go ahead and check it out. If you're interested at all, again, listen to it for free. For me, it's, you know, really just, you know, experiencing this tale with the readers. So, you know, anytime anybody reads, I'm so appreciative. So thanks, guys.
No doubt about that. If you read the first 2 novels, you got to read the trilogy. It's a pleasure to have you on, folks. If you'd like to connect with Jordan, his links to his social media handles, the website, the novels, all of that will be in the description box of this episode. That's it for us this week on our episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
We're excited that you are tuned in with us tonight on our episode, and frankly, we're excited that you tuned in. And so remember to always reach out and to feel free to give us a like, a share, and a ratings. And don't forget to check out some of the other recorded episodes that we have
on the Recebi Podcast Radio Show. And remember, being with us means that you are a proud member of the Recebi Podcast family.